Time went right in beginning of the visit with Cookie this Saturday, the 17th of August, 74. And at the last minute, Debbie. Channel went right in beginning of visit with Cookie this Saturday, the 17th of August, 74. And at the last minute, Debbie. Channel went right in beginning of visit with Cookie this Saturday, the 17th of August, 74. And at the last minute, Debbie. Channel 1 right and beginning of the visit with Cookie this Saturday, the 17th of August, 74.
You've been a lot of places since I saw you last.
I've been a lot of miles. A lot of miles.
You had a...
I just robbed Richard.
Oh,
I'll trade Richard just about anyway.
There's no other life, eh? I'm clear.
He's all matched up.
Gee,
well, it's about time for lunch, isn't it?
Just had breakfast.
Yeah, I just had breakfast a little while ago.
Have you? How about another
10
cup?
10 o'clock.
Oh, well, you can drink another cup of coffee. This rain came up just in time.
Oh, it's been, I tell you what, that's all I've had for the last 3 or 4 days is rain, rain, rain.
Oh, you had rain?
Rain all the way from Pennsylvania.
That's all right. I'm glad you're doing it.
All the way from Pennsylvania.
Yeah. All the way from Pennsylvania.
That's right.
Well, you were indoors, it didn't bother you.
Them bright lights hitting you in the face, and that there, glary blacktop road.
I tell you, you talk about driving. When you get on a wet pavement, especially at night,
why, it puts you, it paralyzes you. Man, I just got to where I parked. Man, I didn't have to, I didn't have no deadlines to meet. I just parked. Then I broke spring on my trailer.
Trailer?
Yeah, coming back and going up. I rung a set of lug nuts off on my trailer. Had to unhook. Go into Walterboro, South Carolina, get lug nuts at 11 o'clock at night, go back, beat them in, get back on the road.
Now that's something I never had any experience like, lug nuts.
The lugs that holds a wheel on.
Yeah.
I broke all of them off on one wheel on my trailer.
I never heard of that.
Well, I done it.
It can be done.
It was done, yes sir. I never done it before in my life.
But you've heard of it.
I've heard of it, but I never experienced it.
Doesn't seem possible.
Sure did.
Seemed like the wheel would disintegrate before the nuts.
Them lugs broke off, flush.
Oh, the lug, huh?
The bolts that holds the wheel on.
Yes.
Broke off flush with the hub. It sure did.
Does that mean there's a little play in there?
No, there wasn't no play in there.
No play in there.
I didn't know everything was going along just as smooth. I was clipping right on down the road, 55, 60 miles an hour. And all of a sudden, I looked in my rearview mirror and there's a ball of sparks following me. I got on my brakes and just as I got on my brakes, a wheel went past. Wheel and tire went past. Then I could see what, it looked in my other mirror and I could see what happened. It just happened that quick.
Just like that.
And I finally got stopped. I got stopped right opposite of where the wheel stopped.
Yeah.
It was over in the, on the meridian, you know. And I went back and looked, and I seen, I'm in trouble now.
Why you just let it boil for?
And I got on my radio, and I couldn't get sold on the radio. Not the first.
You put the coffee in first?
Not the first one could I get on the radio.
Put your little pad down there. Let him handle it.
And, I said to myself, I'll fix it. and I did. I got my jack and went out there and I unhooked my trailer. I went to Walterboro, called my buddy up there.
Well, now, when you say you unhooked your trailer, it sounds like you just went back there and flipped the lock. But it takes you half an hour to unhook that trailer.
No, it don't.
No.
Takes you 20 minutes.
When you are sitting on the interstate and them trucks are buzzing by and them horses are fighting and shaking you around, you'll unhook it in a hurry.
How long does it take you to hook it back?
About 10 minutes. But I called my buddy at Marlboro. I said, "Hey," I said, "I'm in trouble." He said, "What's the trouble?" I told him what happened. Well, he said, "You call Charlie Price at the National Automotive Supply House." He said, "He's a manager of that place. And he'll go in and get you some lug nuts and bolts." Well, I called him. He said, "Yeah, I'll go in, but," he said, "I can't go down there for nothing." I said, "Man, I'm not asking you to go for nothing." I said, "You just get me some lug nuts and bolts." Well, I went down there, and lug nuts and bolts cost me $2.
That's cheap, ain't it?
Yeah. He sold me the lug nuts and bolts wholesale. And I asked him, I said, "Now, how much do I owe you for coming down here?" Well, he said, "Give me $1. I just throwed him a $5 bill. I said, "Keep the change."
I'm the whole thing.
I said, "Keep
well,
it
he was that nice. He was trying to help you out, wasn't he?"
He was trying to help me out, but he said he couldn't come for nothing.
Yeah.
Well, he just darn near.
Yeah.
Well, I got that fixed and got back on the road. I rolled in Westchester, Pennsylvania, Sunday night at 15 minutes after 12 o'clock.
12 hours late. You're due in Sunday afternoon.
Sunday afternoon. Well, see, I never left Jacksonville until, let's see. I believe I pulled on Interstate at 3:30.
Oh, yeah.
Well, what were you doing in Jacksonville? I thought you were leaving from here.
I had to pick up part of my horses in Jacksonville.
Oh, he didn't have them all here.
He didn't have them all up there. I had to go by Jacksonville and pick up part of them. No.
Well, good.
No, I didn't do it for the same price.
So the spring, though, at least you weren't loaded.
Yes, I was too.
Coming back?
I had a ton and a half of clover hay on 6 head of horses.
6 head of horses?
Yeah.
Coming back?
Coming back, yeah.
Same horses you took up there?
Mm-mm. No difference.
And clover hay?
Yeah. Sure did.
Where did that spring hit you?
In Lumberton, North Carolina.
Close to a place to work?
It never happens that way.
Yeah.
Anymore.
Spring in your trailer.
To get the main leaf.
Main leaf. You could hobble along if the other ones went out.
Yeah.
But this time the main leaf went out.
The main leaf went out, and I just couldn't go no place. I was paralyzed.
I didn't know, Cookie. I didn't know you could put in that main leaf out there by yourself.
I did.
Why, Cookie?
I did. I had no other alternative. I couldn't pay $85 to get a man to come out there at the wrecker and do all that kind of work.
If you'd had to set that week, it still paid you to do it yourself.
That's right. It cost me $27 to get a spring from Gainesville up there.
From Gainesville?
I had to call Hale Trailers in Gainesville and have them send me a spring on the bus.
So you just sat there a couple of days?
Well, about a day. Biggest part of a night. But that's all left for me to do. I mean,
sure. I think that's...
There wasn't a Hale Trailer sales in 400 miles of that place.
And you had to have that particular sort?
That's right. See, Hale manufactures their own trailers, their own springs and all their parts. They've got their own manufacturer.
It's just a good thing you could get one.
That's right.
That was close call, wasn't it?
Sure was.
Were you close to anything where you could go get food or anything?
A rest stop.
Yeah.
On 95. About 12 miles from the truck stop. And there's no way I could get back there. But thank goodness they had water that I could water my horses. And I had feed, see?
Uh-huh.
So I watered my horses, gave them plenty of hay, and I went back to the truck stop, and that's where I stayed most of the time because the bus was going to stop there and put the spring on.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know what time the bus would be there, and I didn't want to lose no time, so I stayed right there at the truck stop most
mm-hmm.
of the time.
Yeah.
Locked my trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You could move. You could drive your truck.
Yeah, I just unhooked it.
Sure.
That burn.
If it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have none at all.
Well, now this is more bad luck than you've had in a long time.
Yeah.
What is it doing? Just the wear and tear?
Just the wear and tear.
Sooner or later, it catches up with you.
Yeah. It's like when we just come back from up home. I had two flat tires.
And again.
One cost me $16 to get one fixed. The inside dual cost me $16 to get that tire fixed.
And you had to furnish him the tool?
I had to furnish the tools from Fixer with. Well, we come on down to the truck stop. Well, we come on down to Nebo. Water pump went out. Luck would have it, I had a buddy there that knew how to get me parts at night.
Well, you'd have been in bad shape without some help, wouldn't you?
Wouldn't I, though? Then I had another flat tire. Run over a bolt.
And they couldn't get the tire off.
They couldn't get the tire off. I had to do most of that myself. And they charged me $8.
Well, you didn't need any trouble on this long trip after all of that. Had plenty, it seemed to me.
Yeah, but I had it. I just hope I don't have no bad luck on this trip, because I had my part of it.
Yeah.
If I can buy horses where I can make any money. If I can't buy them where I make money, I'm not going to buy none.
Mm-mm. It's not worth it. You lose money, don't you, Cookie?
Yeah.
You don't want.
Well,
yeah.
Now, you're going to have to buy enough whole load?
Yeah.
Well, suppose you get half a load and ain't
any more. I'll look out in the future. I'll look out front.
Yeah.
You can usually tell at the beginning of the sale how they're going to run. See, I don't care what kind they are.
Mm-hmm.
Old wild ones and bucking horses, that don't make no difference. Because I'm buying them for one reason and one reason only, to make a dollar. And I'm going to sell out. When I get to Pennsylvania, I'm going to sell out. Lock, stock, and barrel.
What you have up there?
What interest I've got up there, I'm going to let it go. I'm going to sell it for some price. Because I'm it's gonna kill me. If the running don't kill me, I'm gonna wreck that truck, go to sleep and wreck that truck and kill myself. Because you take a man getting in that thing and running for 24, 26, 28, and 32 hours and not sleeping.
Yeah. You know, I've been sitting around here and listening to you talk about that, and I say, well, Cookie's a man. But it could be that he's just a damn fool.
Cookie's just a damn fool.
After I took that trip with you.
Yeah, I'm just a damn fool.
Now, I went your way, you see.
Yeah.
You offered to stop overnight going up there, and I said, no, we're going. And on the way back, you offered to stop overnight. I said, no, I'll go cook his way. You know what? You better ask him about Debbie. I think she's in a frame of mind to go do a little horse trading over there.
Well, I'll come to get her.
Yeah.
We'll see about her. Tell you, yeah. Let me tell you, Cookie, what happened.
Now,
yes, that's right here. I didn't know what it was, but I'd had that for a week or 10 days. And I didn't know what it was. I thought it was neuralgia.
Yeah.
Well, I've had neuralgia in 7 states, 7 countries. Every time I have a rainy spell, you see, I expect it to settle in some of my joints. That's neuralgia.
Yeah, yeah.
But it wasn't neuralgia. I had pulled the muscle over that knee.
One, one, two.
And you see, even when I sit down, it gets stiff.
Yeah.
And when I got up, I'd have to walk around 5 minutes for it to limber up. And I didn't find that out until I got back. And I put the heat on it. If I had set up there and put the heat on it, I wasn't doing anything else, you see.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have been
playing. Cookie said he's here. He's in the car. He's not going to take a truck. So he's just going to drive over and do a little horse trading and come back. Well, you know, any time I get this, you know, as soon as you get over here, then it saves him coming by. Right over.
And you see, I've been in there on the bed most of the time since I got here with heat on it.
How about that?
Because I went to the doctor and he said if I didn't do something to it, it might get to be chronic. Well, I don't want any chronic. And you know what the cause of that is? It's them zipper boots that Gary sent me. Well, you say, how'd that happen? Well, I'll tell you very simply. I got a letter from him and he was right sassy. He said he figured we'd already had a little talk back and forth on those. I told him they said, Jesse, I couldn't wear them to the chicken house. But he wrote back and said, at least I could pick up my feet. He figured I wasn't so old I had to go around dragging my feet. That's what happened. Them things made me so light-footed, you see. I could walk around here. And since I let those cows go, I've had to take a little exercise.
Yeah.
Just to keep me safe by that. And them cows, they're first rate. I never took exercise when I had them. Well, I trot around the house. Well, I was so light-footed, I started trotting. I run. Well, I don't know when it happened, but I got too much weight up here for them poor little flabby muscles up here. And just one little light turn, you see, would do it.
Twist you. Well, I can see why it would.
And I didn't know it at the time.
Now, how in the world he made that trip with you without complaining the whole time with that knee? He may have.
He never complained with that knee.
I never complained until last night, and everything was happening then, you see.
Well, I hope you were better than he was. Guy was as snappy as a turtle when he got here.
I'll tell you what the God's truth.
I couldn't please him for nothing.
ICC, I mean, they was on 26 and 85. We had to run 40 miles out of the way to get back around them. I couldn't go through them. There was no way I could not go through them. Stopped at that truck stop, get a cup of coffee.
Y'all didn't have a trip.
And went back out. And I was talking to that truck driver there, and he was explaining to me how to get back around and where to go to dodge that ICC. And Well, I had a flat tire. I had to fix that.
Well, you know what got me there?
What's that?
It was that damn refrigerator truck. I tried to come out there and sit down, you see?
Yeah?
My leg was hurting and I was out of shape anyhow. And that is the noisiest damn thing you ever saw. Why, that damn refrigerator truck, you can't sit in a quarter of a mile of it. And there we was parked right up against it. And I got so goddamn put out with that thing. It was noisy.
You know I can lay right down beside one of them and go to sleep.
That's it.
Yeah.
Now that's just the difference in two people.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, I'd get that way.
Children making a fuss just tear me up.
Yeah.
Okay, I can go out there and I don't care if there's a dozen refrigerator trucks are running. I can lay right there and go to sleep.
Well, I used to go sound asleep in a reefer on a freight train.
Yeah.
Didn't bother me.
It's the kind of noise that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But a bunch of youngsters bickering.
Oh, I can't stand it. I've got to go. I can sit right there at a auction. I find awful careful, and then that auctioneer rattling, I'll go to sleep.
Is that right?
Yeah. I will. I'll sit there and go to sleep.
Isn't that interesting?
You know, it finally sunk into me what you explained around here one day was that the cost of transportation was so high, these regular fellows can't haul a lot of stuff. And that you were taking this, and you were taking it so low, it was the lowest dollar, as you said.
That's right.
Well, with the highway the way it is, that lowest dollar won't work.
No, I've got to get off that. I'm off that low dollar. To come off that low dollar.
Yeah.
See, why I'd like to go to Pennsylvania, why I'd like to get a load of horses to go to Pennsylvania. I can make $400 or $500 on a load. Plus, I've got a load up there that's going back to Davie. From Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, to Davie, Florida, which is right above Miami. Which will pay me $350. And I'm coming back anyway.
Well, yeah. But if you deadhead, you're
I can't make it. There's no way I can make it up at the deadhead up there. I've got to take a pay and load up.
And then a pay and load back.
That's right.
You got to go up there 1,150 miles for $400. That's less than 20 cents a mile.
That's right.
Well, you see, I didn't figure that when you were telling me. Well, hell, you can't drive a car for 20 cents a mile.
See, I'm pulling two units. I'm running two units.
Well, let me tell you, Cookie, that, I never saw anything like that place up there where your daddy lives.
I haven't heard anything but about that place since he got back. It's just like a paradise.
And, you see, I caught it just on the tail end. It can just go to pieces within a minute.
That's right.
And I'm telling you, I wouldn't have missed that for anything. You see, your daddy come down here, but he ain't the same down here. He'd come down here and stay a week or two and talk about all that stuff, but it sounds different.
Yeah.
Now, you see, up there, he seemed like he's perfectly at ease.
He's at home.
The accent.
He is home. He's just at home.
And, you know, in a way, from the talk now, as I think of it, just this moment, he not fed up with that or tired of it.
No.
It's so much work on your mama.
That's right. That is the whole thing in a nutshell.
It's just too much for her.
Too much for her. And I don't care who goes in there. Mama won't let nobody help her. In the kitchen? Hardly at all.
You know, Cookie, that's what a great many people who have had their own kitchens and everything and want it their way. That's what happens. You can't.
You know
them.
Yourself, can't nobody come in here and do this like you can. Or in anybody's kitchen.
They're cooking.
That's right.
That's right. Oh, I would go through the ceiling if I had to eat somebody else's cooking in here.
You take.
You know what they'd be doing? They'd be cooking up new dishes and all that
yeah.
stuff. The stuff that I despise.
You take that night that Mom and Dad was gone. And I went in there and see, the thing of it was, me and Guy came in just a little bit. Well, Mom and Dad hadn't been gone too long, because the food wasn't cold.
No, they set it over on the stove.
Yeah.
And first thing Mama asked me, if I warmed up supper.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got everything we want. Everything warmed up. Never warmed up a thing. But I had to tell her that,
because sure.
She wouldn't have been, I mean, it really hurt her.
Yeah. Yeah.
For me and Guy to come in and sit down to a cold supper.
Sure.
Well, it wasn't cold, was it, Guy?
It wasn't to me. And that cornbread she fixed, the first time she fixed cornbread, Faye. And I said something about it, but I was just joking.
Uh-huh.
When we left that day.
Yeah.
I said, don't have to fool with us. Maybe we just had some cold cornbread. But she worked on that hint. I guess. Because she had a half of her. You see, Daddy had worked on that cornbread. He had a long pan like that, and there's half of it left. Well, from what I saw afterwards, he can't get enough cornbread. He just sits there and eats cornbread in his milk.
From what Guy says, that's the best cornbread he ever ate.
I tell you what, it's just like cake. But Mama was feeling bad. She really, she had had the homecoming the week before, and she hadn't recuperated over that yet.
Yeah, that's right.
And I told her, I said, now, Mama, just let the chips lay where they fall. You cook what you and Dave wants to eat. And I said, me and Guy will bring up, we'll gather up the scraps.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
And,
But she wouldn't do it.
Well, I know she wouldn't do it. No way. So,
Well, if you had it to do over again, I could have said it, put in a word, see, but I didn't know anything to say, so I just tried not to say it.
Well, it's very difficult for anybody, I don't care who it is, to come in without the cook having to do a little more.
That's right.
Think you're not going to, but you just will. Now, I'm sure several evenings they would probably have had buttermilk and cornbread, like, you know.
That's
but
right.
If you all were there, they'd do something. She'd do something. She told me all the time once. She said, I'm used to cooking three meals a day. It's not anything new to me.
Yeah. Well, she enjoyed talking to you.
Who's Imogene? I forget. You all told me two or three times.
That's Daddy Cal.
Yeah. Who's
Imogene Samples. It used to be Imogene Samples.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, who is she?
She's one of the students that Daddy used to haul on his school bus.
Oh.
And she got married, and her husband was having problems, and they were going to sell their cow and calf. And Daddy bought the calf, and somebody else bought the cow. I don't know who it was, or something like that. I don't know. Anyway, Daddy named the cow after the little girl.
No, he told her, I remember now, he told her that he wouldn't buy that cow if it meant that she's going to separate from her husband.
Yeah, yeah.
So, somehow or other, it come along that she promised him not to separate from her husband if he'd buy a cow or something.
Yeah. Anyway, it's a long story. Now, he can tell you, I mean, he remembers it all. He can just tell you right on down the line, just like everything happened. Can you get?
Yeah.
Oh, God says he's just wonderful.
And, he's something else.
Is there any of the boys besides you take after him like that? Can they talk?
No. Well, that Lawrence is like a clam.
Well, he stood there and talked to me like a 4-H fella.
I tell you what's the truth. That's one boy that let his money go to his head.
Yeah.
He's worth some money. And I don't care, I hate to say this, he wouldn't help none of the rest of the family at all. No way.
Hmm.
He looks after self.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Well, now you take the boys, Larry and these other ones I know. You see, Faye, they don't have much, they don't have any freewheeling. You see, they're living in places where everything they get, they got to pay for. They got to buy a house or make some arrangement like that. And you see, the money they earn don't go that far. You take Larry, got a good job over there.
Right.
But he also paying a big price on, for a house.
That's right, $167 a month.
Every month.
Every month.
Mm.
And we'll be doing that for 30 years.
Mm.
And him disabled, I mean, almost as bad a shape as I'm in.
Oh, is he?
Oh, yeah.
What happened to him?
He ain't got but half of his stomach left.
Why, Cookie?
That's right.
Since when?
Oh, since he worked for Republic Steel before he was married the second time.
Oh, really?
See, he's been married twice.
Oh.
Hmm.
No,
yeah. I don't know. No, not quite, I don't think. 27, 28.
Oh, he's a young man.
Yeah,
he's
young.
He's the youngest boy.
The youngest boy.
Yeah, Andra's the baby. I don't even know how old she is. She's got two kids.
She lives a little farther from home.
And she lives up above Wheeling, West Virginia.
Uh-huh.
Way up in them mountains.
Yeah. He's the one that spent a week there and painted the house on the outside.
Yeah.
Well, it looked like a ship, right?
The way it's painted. That's the cleanest place he ever saw in his life, inside and out.
Just like an animal.
He painted the house, and that wasn't good enough. He left Mom and Dad a check for $75 for board.
Yeah.
He done sure did.
Yeah.
Well, that's something.
But he makes money.
Oh,
he does.
Yeah, he makes money.
He does.
Yeah.
Well, that's the last thing. That's the last thing that children do. You see, they always seem to take from the parents, grandparents, instead of helping Mom a little bit. They're always
taken.
Yes, and they don't do it on purpose, but it just works out that way. So, you see, they never get any relief. I mean, I've seen it happen so much. And
well, it should be a pity if your daddy had to leave that place.
He'll never be satisfied nowhere else.
No.
Guy says
now, they ought to get away.
I would suggest them getting away for 30 days.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And not doing nothing, just resting.
Yes. Then come back and say, well, I'm leaving
again. And leave again, that's right. But I, Mama has got her whole heart set in selling that place. Well, nothing's going to satisfy Mama until that place is sold.
Yeah.
And I just don't have the money to buy it. If I did, I'd buy it.
There'd never be another one like it.
No, sir. If I thought I could sell my property in Hawthorne and get anything, any ways near the value of it, that place up there, I'd buy it. Really and truly, I would. Because you got a house there that a man will never, there ain't no way you could build a house to compare with that one nowadays.
And you can live out of the place just like you could when he was bringing up his family.
If a man would get out there and work, that's right. All he needs was a good workhorse and a little willpower, and you could make it.
Yeah.
We used to.
Mm-hmm.
We used to.
Mm-hmm.
We used to have our own corn or beans, have a big garden. And you thought Mama had a big garden.
Yeah.
That's not half the garden we used to raise.
It's not.
You saw that bottom air below the house? That used to be the garden.
Not that whole shebang?
That used to be the garden.
Ooh!
It's a meadow, see?
When we was all growing up.
Uh-huh.
Now that's a big one all the way down there. But not on the right. You see, then you got the elbow down
there. Yeah. It was all the way down to the creek there.
Yeah.
That one patch right there below the barn and the house. That used to be the garden when I was growing up.
That'd be, I don't know how much is in that.
That's about an acre.
Goodness.
But it's rich.
Rich?
You see, it's all.
It's something.
It's something.
So you just live down the garden?
Yeah. Now, Mom and Dad, they don't buy no fertilizer. They don't have to.
Yeah. That's hard to believe in.
It is,
though. I've been living down here.
Mm-hmm. At Rich Brown.
Yeah.
You know, that's, I said to Cookie, I said to Daddy, I said, now, you know, I ain't used to just sitting down and all that. Go ahead and do what there is to do, even talk as long as you do it. And it didn't make any difference. So I told Cookie, and he said to me, he says it won't do a bit of good. He says, if you stay here a month, he ain't going to do anything.
And that's just the way it be.
Yes, sir.
He just enjoyed talking.
He just said, you come so far to be with me a little while, and I'm not going to do nothing. Ain't that right, guy?
Yeah.
And he meant every word of it.
Yeah.
It even hurt him to have to go milk a cow and feed the hog. It did.
Yeah,
from what I hear, guy went with him most of the time.
Yeah.
Well, I went a time too. Can't match that, Freddie, anyway, you see. Now, part of that, Cookie, is just pure providence. You see, you got them mountains before, backs up to one and faces the other one, and at both ends, you see, he's scratched. Then you got that little, the hard top stop where it gets up there. That slows things down. And, I don't know. Just a hard top road would make a vast difference in that.
A hard top road would add $10,000 to the value of that property.
Yes, but it'd take away what it is now. It'd change them.
It would change it altogether.
Yeah.
If it was me, I don't know. If it was me, if I owned a piece of property, I wouldn't care whether there's ever a hard top road went in there.
No, just stay off that darn hard top.
If I had to take my horses and buggy and get out in the wintertime, that would be all right.
That'd be all right, yes.
I'm not joking nobody.
Guy said what he'd like to do would be go up there, like that February you went up there, and just be holed in so nobody could come and nobody could go and just tip of the fire.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be something? But it's, like you say, it's your mother.
If I'd had my typewriter, it could have kept my head straight a little bit. And then I could, you see, we talk so much, it kind of mixed up in my mind. I couldn't keep it straight. If I just had a typewriter up there. Now, another thing that's been helping me, Cookie, if I'd had a... Now, that's why I was looking for one of these little trailers, little, what do you call them, travel trailers.
Yeah.
Is where I could, just sort of have a little office with a table there to work on. And then, you see, it sort of separates me, see, because I don't go up there for pleasure, I go up there to learn. Well, it's a great pleasure too, but without the other, I wouldn't go.
Yeah.
And I won't be able to report straight. So I have to work on it, you see, part of the time when I'm there. See, it take a day, if I have... You know, we knock around as much as you want to. But if I have an hour, ever so often, to go in there and set it down.
Yeah.
Or get it straight on the typewriter. I can't do it with a long hand. But the travel trailer won't work. For one thing, it's too big. It's too cluttered up. You don't need all those utilities. All you need is just a little box. Just a little box with a sink in one end of it. That's all you need. And I don't know what it is. This little trailer you put in on your pickup truck, it's not made for it. You can't sit in it. You can sit in it going to town, but you can't sit in it and do any work. So, I'd ask Debbie, I don't know just, I don't know what you do. See, I don't want to be pulling a whole lot of stuff around. I don't need a whole lot of stuff.
No.
All I need is a little space just about the size of this table in there. That's about all I need, maybe with a sink at the end.
Well, now you take these campers that you put on the back of a pickup truck. Well, they have that. And you've got sleeping quarters. I mean, but it's all folds up and tucks back away.
Yeah.
And it's got a sink in it and a refrigerator. And
yeah, well, you don't need all that stuff. I'm not going to. I just need a little something.
You can get them cheaper.
Huh?
You can get them that doesn't have a refrigerator.
You see, if I had that and could set it, if I come in,
yeah,
and could set it up there in the backyard, at the side of the house, you know, where it'd be out of sight,
yeah,
not an eyesore, and that's a place I could sort of slip in every now and then, it would be something. But I haven't seen anything, you see.
You don't want to pull no travel trailer up there.
No.
No camping trailer, I pulled one up there. I wouldn't. Well, I'd rather pull that gooseneck of mine. Anytime.
They swing on you.
Black snake. I ain't gonna pull them over.
You can't go slow around those curves. You gotta keep your momentum up.
You got to keep with the traffic. And that thing of playing black snake behind you like that, I ain't gonna do
that's
that.
That's dangerous.
Oh, I saw too many of them wreck.
Well, what you gotta have in a pickup truck?
I'd rather have it on a pickup truck. Sure would.
They had one down here on a pickup truck. The whole thing sold for $1,000, and it was a good one. And I thought to myself, well, that's a foolish way of spending money. And it was a good truck.
You couldn't take it off the truck.
Oh, yeah.
This one was
built on the truck?
Yeah.
Well,
it don't matter.
It don't make no difference.
Take it off.
I'll take them off.
Yeah.
But you don't want to pull anything?
Mm-mm. Not on two wheels. No. Not trailing along behind me. No, I ain't going to do that. They're too top heavy.
Not on four wheels either.
Not unless it's a 20-foot or longer, where you have some balance there.
Yeah.
You take them little old 14-foot, 12-14-footers, they just black snake behind you like that.
And you see them all up and down the highway.
You can't, but there ain't no balance to them, no way.
Yeah.
They just won't balance.
We saw one of them. That was a flat one.
Yeah, we saw that one, didn't we?
Yeah.
Well, and what did I tell you?
Deep past Cookie on a yellow line. Zipping along with one of them collapsible things behind him.
Uh-huh.
Next time we saw him, it was, they didn't call the ambulance.
Upside down, huh?
Yes, except the other man that got it.
Well, it happened, that trailer started blacksnaking down that hill, and that slapped a man in the face.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now this is, you see, I've never been to an auction, Demi. And, I told you, this trip up there to West Virginia, the everything that Cookie has told me, it looked different in the light of all that, you see. Even traveling the road or everything. You talking about handling a rig on a highway, I never saw anything like it.
Chances, unless you've seen Cookie handle that rig, you haven't seen anything.
Yeah. Well.
And every time you hear those trucks on I-75, guy says, I know just exactly what they look like. I've been there.
Well. Cookie, let me tell you. I'll tell you as I look at it now. The one disaster point in it is a steady drive up there. Well, if you stop in length of time, you got to have a place to put your animals, and that means unloading and loading them up again. But this night thing, after midnight, everybody you deal with out like that at the restaurants, truck stops, or anywhere, they're dazed. After midnight, their mind stops working.
Are you sure their mind stops or yours? Or mine?
Hold up. You just look at the fella, and you can see. You see, he just sort of simmered right there. He ain't all with us, and he ain't alert. I used to try to listen to the radio after midnight. You know, say during the night I was up, and I'd want a little cup, and I'd turn it on. Well, as long as the music was on, I could stand it. But as soon as he started talking, he starts to say something, and it never would quite gel. It's crazy.
Oh, you know it's 1 o'clock on
Yeah.
It starts at 1:30, don't it?
Yeah.
Well, you all better get going.
Tax sale. I've got a little tack I might sell if I can get the right price for it.
Well, we better go. I kept you waiting. You caught me with my shoes off when you called. I put my shoes on.
Well, if I don't...
You got a jacket?
Don't need one.
If I don't buy a load of horses, I'll see you all later on.
You got the money?
Me? Yeah, he doesn't have to buy my hamburger.
I will.
You just holler, we'll come get you.
Time went right around 600 or 800, and the end of the visit with Cookie this Saturday, the 17th of August, 1974, with Debbie at the inn. Time went right around 600 or 800, the end of the visit with Cookie this Saturday, the 17th of August, 1974, with Debbie at the end. Channel went right, and the end of the visit with Cookie around 600 or 800 this Saturday, the 17th of August, 1974, with Debbie at the end.
I got in the beggar's license down there at Lois Dixon's, out there by her fence. Man, oh man, oh man, did I get in the beggar's license. That's a pair of overalls that got beggar's license clear up above my knees, and they're just as thick as they could stand down there.
Yeah.
You know, I got them laid out flat. I was going after them with a... with a knife, you know, and just take and scrape them right off. See, that's the way I've done. I got in them once before, like
yeah.
That. Just take and scrape them right
yeah.
off in there. Jesus, I'll bet you that when I get them scraped off, there'll be enough to fill that.
Oh,
you don't mean that
yes,
much.
Sir. Why, you never see anything like them. Geez, they are thick down there, just as thick as they be, clear above my knees. Well, them damn beggar lights down in there, you know, you see they haven't cut the grass down there in a couple of months, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And them damn beggar lights, some of them are up that high.
Oh, I know, they get thick.
They're just black with them... seeds on
yeah.
there, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, whereabouts was that?
Huh?
Whereabouts?
Well, you know, the picket fence comes across the front of the house
yeah.
and then down the side.
Yeah.
Well, down there where the picket fence ends, oh, I'd say about 25 feet down there, there was a gate.
Oh, where you drive in?
Had a wooden gate down there,
yeah.
yeah. Well, I took that wooden gate out of there and put one of them nice metal gates in there, see? Put a couple of them nice fancy white posts there with the top on them.
Yeah.
Oh.
Got it all fixed up down there.
Dressed it up.
Yeah. You see, they're dressing up that place over across the road, so... God, we had to dress up Lois a little bit there.
Oh, they put a picket fence around there.
Yeah. Now Lois is going to take that old fence all down and put up a new fence there with that, you know what that 2x4 wire is? The mesh in it is 2 inches one way and 4 inches the other.
Yeah.
Maybe 2 inches this way and 4 inches up and down. She's gonna
put heavy wire.
Yeah, I'm going to put that around down there.
That's that heavy wire. Well, that's going to cost you a little bit.
Yeah.
She's not going to put that up in place of the picket fence.
No.
I see.
No. You're going to start the end of the picket fence.
I see.
You see, she owns that chunk down below there.
Mm-hmm.
And then goes out that other way there.
I see. Well?
Hmm.
And that other, the fellow that lives next door, she's going to buy the fence to go clear over on him, between him and her. She's going to buy the fence and he's going to put it up.
Well, she's, I used to think she made a living teaching music.
Yeah, but Jesus, I wished I had her bank account.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I think she must have a little bit
oh,
more.
Oh, Jesus. Why, her father run that store down there, you know, and he and somebody else started a damn bank up in Gainesville, or, yeah, one of them banks up there.
Oh, they did.
Well, yes, and she and her sister there owns a half interest in that damn bank.
Oh, you mean it's still going?
They still own a half interest in that bank.
Woo!
So I am told.
Who told you?
Lois didn't tell me, but I was told down there in McIntosh.
Good Lord. Here she owns a bank, Mr. Eastman.
Well, Jesus, and they say that every time there's any big bank doings going on up there, she has to get up there.
Mm.
Now that's what they tell me down there in McIntosh.
Mm. Well, she and poor Hattie Neal, she ought to.
Oh, yeah, poor Hattie. I don't think that poor Hattie is as damn hard up as she claims she is.
Oh,
Miss
you
Eastman,
don't.
I used to be down there. And they claimed that she just had $5 between her and the poorhouse or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Just didn't have anything to work on.
Yeah. Well, Jesus, you know, here years back, her father owned half of McIntosh.
Hattie Neal's?
Huh?
Hattie Neal's?
Yes. Her father owned a hell of a lot of property down there. And they say that that's that Christian. You know, Bill Wynn's father-in-law there?
Yeah.
They say that he finagled around there, different deals, and got a lot of it away from her.
Yeah. Well, her neighbor, you know, finagled that fence.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw that fence after you told me about it. It's a good sturdy fence in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought she was pretty proud of that neighbor.
Said what?
I thought she was proud of having that,
yeah,
that neighbor, but
well,
I don't know.
I thought she was too. She always talked to him about him as if he was something, Mr. Eastman.
Well, that other fellow that lived there before this last guy, he was a pretty good fellow, that Cockrell. This Dewberry, or whatever his name is there, he's...
Oh, is he the one that put the fence in?
Dewberry.
Oh, I thought it was Cockrell.
No, Dewberry is the one that put the fence.
Well, what happened to Cockrell?
Well, Cockrell sold out to Dewberry. Dewberry goes and has it surveyed. Well, the two surveyors, the one that Cockrell had and the one that Dewberry had, they varied that 15 or 20 feet there. And if I had been in Hattie Neal's shoes, but Jesus, they wouldn't have put it over on me like that.
Mm-hmm.
She not got good sense, Miss Eastman.
Huh?
She can't take up for herself.
No.
All she can do is go over and tell Miss Lois about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Johnny Palmer called him.
Oh, he did?
Johnny Palmer was in the store down there tonight.
No.
Yes, sir.
No. We just saw him last
By
night.
Jesus, I went down there to the store to get some eggs and some bacon. And by Jesus, all at once, John appeared.
Walking?
Yeah, his sister brought him over. And he was walking in the store. And, all at once, I was paying for my stuff,
And all at once, by geez, he disappeared. And where the devil he went to, I don't know, whether his sister whisked him out of there to take him home or what. But he disappeared. Because Jesus, everybody was running there, you know, and shaking hands with him and telling him how good they was to see him and all this and that. I think his sister got him right out of there.
Why, I can't believe it. We saw him last night, flat of his back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he told Arthur that he set up an hour at a time.
Yeah.
But he didn't say anything when he was over there about
that. Well, he came in there and he had the pajamas on and a bathrobe over the top of it, and that's all he had on. And a pair of sandals on his feet.
He said the doctor told him he had to stay 2 more weeks flat of his back.
By Jesus, he was over there. And he told me, he says, I'm coming over here to work inside of a month. Well, I said, John, by Jesus, you take care of yourself if it takes 3 months before you get over here.
You tell him that?
Well, he lay there last night.
You know, you'd laugh to see them colored ones in there. Oh, Mr. Palmer, Mr. Palmer, Mr. Palmer. Jesus.
They were glad to see it.
Oh, God, yes.
Well, you see, he lets them have anything on credit.
Yeah.
I told you what he told me one time.
What'd he tell you?
I told him it looked to me like a man had to sort of be on cash basis. There's so much out he couldn't collect. Why, Mr. Palmer said if he went on a cash basis, he wouldn't sell anything.
This evening, he was the cutest thing I ever saw last night. We sat there at his bed, and he'd pat my hand, and I'd pat him, and he told us about how this thing happened. And he just laughed.
Yeah.
Why, if he hadn't taken Yuko, or whatever name is, home, he wouldn't have been here.
Yeah.
He said he put him in that room, and he paid $100 a day just to look at him.
Yeah.
They had the nurses there.
Yeah,
they're there 24 hours.
Yeah, well, he was in the intensive care, see?
No, he was more than that.
Yeah, in a room where there was only 4 beds.
Yeah.
And there's 2 nurses to a bed. They thought he wasn't going to make it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they took him out of there and put him into intensive care.
Yeah.
Oh,
and he just laughed.
But you see, I called up down there to Heritage Flowers to have him send some flowers over to him.
Yeah.
And Jesus, they couldn't take them into him because he was in the intensive care.
Yeah.
So just as soon as he got out of intensive care, well, they took him the flowers, see? Well, his sister told me, she said that was better than a dose of medicine.
Yeah.
Sir. It cheered him up to think that I thought enough of him to send him them flowers.
Why, of course.
And the next Sunday, yeah, Yuko was down there to see him, and he says, Yuko, look at what Artie boy sent me. Artie boy. Yeah, he always calls me Artie boy. Look at what Artie boy sent me.
Well, he was lying up there last night on his back, you know, and the room was dark. He'd been asleep. And just tell us about that.
I wish you could have heard that. He told about everything from the time it hit him.
Yeah.
They were closing.
Yeah.
And the thing hit him and he got over there and sat down. And he couldn't sit down. He couldn't move, he said. And, you know, he went on and told all about it. And then the most extraordinary thing, Mr. Eastman, it had hit him twice. And then that crazy fella hadn't come to get
his wife there.
His wife. So he took her home.
Oh, that's what saved him. Because her aunt.
That's what Mr. Farmer's sister said.
Yeah.
And he got over there and he couldn't get out or anything. And she went in there and got her sister or aunt or somebody who was a nurse. So she gave him that nitroglycerin or whatever it takes, Les Palmer said the fella drove him to the hospital. He said he drove him. He was on one side of the road, on the other. He said he, sometime he'd go 20 miles an hour, and then he'd be up to 40 miles an hour.
And then he'd get to 80, he was drunk, you know. And when he got into the hospital, they said, they took one look at me and didn't even ask me my name. They just started putting those wires on me. We just sat there and
it's worth a trip over there, Mr. Eastman, just to hear that story.
Well, I was figuring on going over there tomorrow night, see,
yeah,
to see him. Well, Jesus, I got down there in the store, and God, here he come in.
Well, you go over there. Yeah,
well, he'll still be there. You need to go over and see him.
You go over there, let him tell you about it. It's rich.
He's supposed to be in that bed.
Yeah.
He sure is.
He's like me when I had the heart attack, you know. They didn't think I was going to live 3 days. Well, the third day, I got up and put my clothes on. And Jesus, a rap comes to the door, and I didn't know who it was, you know. And I got up and opened the door, and Jesus, I was with the doctor. He said, what are you doing here with your clothes on? Well, I said, Doc, I made up my mind if I was going to die, I was going to die with my shoes on. Well, he said, if a fella can't do as I tell him to, I'm not going to doctor him, he said, and he turned right around and went.
You had to find somebody else.
Jesus, yes, I had a hell of a time finding somebody that would help me. I couldn't walk, you know.
You didn't intend for the doctor to leave you.
No.
Pain?
I couldn't walk.
Give us all a piece.
Okay.
That'll make that stuff go better.
Yeah.
I couldn't walk a city block if they paid me for it.
Yeah.
Don't get me nothing to eat.
Well, she's going to give you a little piece of that pudding.
No, I got, I had more than I could eat tonight down there for supper. That's
all
the reason
right.
I ain't drinking that too fast.
Yeah. They're going to close up that place in September.
They are.
Yeah. Faye found out about it. I stopped that day and got this. Well, he said they were about out of oranges anyhow. And then the sugar costs so much. All them little doodads they got in there, they can't sell them. They can't make enough on them. He said those little jars of jam and one thing and another, orange marmalade and like, he said they used to make 70% on that.
Yeah.
And he said the price is so high now, they can't make over 30%.
Yeah.
Well, I think they ought to get along.
Well, Jesus, they can make 30% now. They're doing damn good.
Well, I should think 70 is too much.
No, sir. When I was in business up north there, I figured if I got 10%, I would make him good.
Yeah. Well,
I used to sell a lot of electric stoves and refrigerators and milk coolers and all of that stuff, see?
Oh, really?
And I figured a 10% profit, that I could do pretty good on it.
When you sold it, did you install it? Well, Mr. Eastman, I want to hear once more about that lightning.
That lightning? Jesus, boy, that.
I can't believe that.
Huh?
I just can't believe it.
Jesus, you know, that I stood right there and just washing them dishes, see? And I had this hand in the water, and this hand, I just took a dish and that I'd rinsed, see, and was putting it over in the
Well, that's the reason this hand's puffed
yeah,
up.
Yeah, that's the reason that this hand got it.
Is it still puffed?
A little bit, see.
Yeah.
Why, Mr. Eastman.
See? And, Jesus, that flash of lightning, it went right down the roofing. See?
Two balls.
Huh? That ball of fire went right down that roofing and right out that rain spout, right down into the ground, see?
But, and you had buckets of rainwater.
Well, yeah, there were two of them wash tubs up there. Well, I went out and looked because I thought they'd be split. See, with that lightning going down, I reckon sure it'd split them. But it didn't. Jesus, it went right down, you know, and it hit that damn drain, see? There's an iron pipe goes out there with that drain. followed that drain right back up into the sink.
Right, yeah.
And when that hit me, you know, it was why, geez, the first that I knew, I was right back with my back against that cabinet on the other side. It throwed me right away from the sink, see, right back against that cabinet. And that's what hurt my back.
I can't, right against the cabinet.
Say, it throwed him right across the room.
Yeah, right across the room there. Well, it's about 6 feet, I guess.
Well, that's a good ways.
Yeah. And it felt just as if that I split my pants. Well, I felt that, and geez, and they was all hauled. About a half an hour afterwards, I went in the bathroom, and by God, I'd split my underwear right up through.
Why, Mr. Easton?
Yes, sir. Did you see when it throwed me over back there? You see, it throwed my feet out some way. Just took a splitter.
Split your underwear.
Split the underwear right up through from the crotch right up to the back.
Never heard of anything like that.
Yeah. Jesus.
Never heard of anything like that.
Well, Jesus, I got the underwear down there that I can show you.
Mm-hmm.
You split them right up there.
Well, that's a souvenir.
Yeah.
And what did it do? Give you a headache?
Yeah, oh, Jesus, my head ached to beat all, and I had an idea. That awful flash, you know, was going to affect my eyes, but it don't seem to make them any worse. But Jesus, that was an awful bright flash, you know, that going down there like that.
Oh, I didn't know. I hadn't heard you tell about that.
Oh, Jesus, that was an awful bright flash, and that lightning went right down that.
Yeah. And all you were doing was standing in your own kitchen.
Washing the dishes.
It looked like
Opal's man, that old Dutchman that came in there today. He said, "Well, goddammit, you shouldn't have been washing the dishes anyway." Oh, Jesus.
Well, do you think it was heading towards your hot water heater?
Huh?
Do you think the hot water heater is what drew it?
No, I think it just followed right up that drain.
Oh, I see.
And I reckoned that the hot water heater was gone too, you know. But it didn't.
Didn't bother?
No.
The drain then came right up to the sink.
Yeah. It went right up to the sink instead of going up the water pipe.
Oh, I see.
See, it went up the drain, see, and instead of on the water line. If it went on the water line, it would knock that water heater out.
And you had your hand in the water, and that's what happened there.
Well, hell, Mr. Easton, with as many possibilities, it had to hit something, didn't it?
Jesus, yes.
Golly, it could have got you.
Yeah. Well, that same day, around Orlando, someplace down there, the lightning struck right where there was a bunch of people. Yeah, and there were 10 or 12 of them that were hospitalized.
Yeah. I'm telling you, I don't care for that lightning.
I don't either.
I used to walk out, you see, when it was lightning. I used to walk out in the field and all like that. But I quit that a long time back.
They said that my grandmother used to, they'd come up a lightning storm, she'd get right out on the porch. Oh, that's a pretty one. And I've heard my father tell about it.
it's like fireworks. It's beautiful up there.
It's beautiful up there, yes. But it hits pretty hard.
Well, Jesus, back in 1936, and I think a little bit later in the fall than right now, I still lived on the farm up there, but I'd rented it on shares to a fellow, and he lived up in the tenant house. And in December of that year, I moved down to the village, and he moved into the main house that's supposed to be right by the barn, see? The house was on the upper side of the road, and the barn was on the lower side. Well, the electric entrance, come into the barn, and then went through the barn, and up the end of the barn, and up to the house, and there was a pole set about halfway between the barn and the house, and I had a big outside light on it. And it was coming up a storm, and the fellow that was running the place said that he was going out and he was going to get the cows in the barn before it got to raining. So was just about milking time. And he'd started out after the cows out the end of the barn. He got right out there where the transformer was. And the lightning struck a tree right there, oh, about 50 feet from the transformer. And it jumped right onto that wires. And you know, it blew that transformer all to pieces. And you know, them pieces of porcelain come down all around him, but it didn't a darn one hit him. And I bet you that he jumped that high. You know, when that hit it kind of sucked him right up, see? And I had started for the barn, and I was right under them wires that goes to the barn, from the house to the barn. Well, I had on a heavy pair of rubbers, and I think that's all that saved me that time, because it knocked me flatter than a pancake.
Oh, it did?
Yeah, Jesus, I wouldn't go and knock me flat in a pancake.
It knocked you down, but it didn't bother him.
Yeah, it jumped him up.
Took him off the ground.
Picked him right up. Well, I see it. And he was wondering how the devil he could jump that high. Well, Jesus, he wasn't jumping. I'm telling you.
But it just knocked you on the ground.
Yeah.
Well, if you could just have your rubbers on at the right time.
I had them rubbers on, and I think that's all that saved me.
Well, did you have your rubbers on in the kitchen?
No.
But you want a rubber mat.
Yes, it's standing on a rubber mat.
Yeah.
But that wouldn't be like be standing on the ground, you know. You see, because you got your house, your wood floor, and everything under you there.
Yeah.
Evelyn thinks that they're standing on that rubber mat. And Jesus, when she was in that chair, you know, that leans back, and the darn near throwed her out of the chair.
She said.
Yeah, it shook it.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Oh, God, it shook that house, you know, just like that.
Oh, it shook the house.
Oh, God, yes, it shook the whole thing.
That's what she said.
Yeah, and that shook her, putting her out of the chair.
I didn't get that, Faith.
Yeah.
I heard her say.
Well, was she shook up?
Eh?
Was she shook up?
Well, yeah, it shook her, you know, it shook.
Made her hurt again.
It wasn't like getting hit with a lightning, you know, but at the same time, you know, you're in a chair there and somebody come along and gives you an awful shaking. Well, you know, it shakes you up inside.
Yeah, you feel it. Well, you know, that gout, it looked to me like that was just one too much. So she got enough pills to take.
Yeah.
She takes one for the blood pressure and one for her heart.
Yeah. She takes five different kinds.
One for the pressure, one for her heart,
and one for fluid.
Oh, yes, the fluid.
Fluid, and then she's got one there for arthritis.
Oh, has she?
That's the fifth one there for arthritis. She don't take them all the time, but.
Well, the fifth one would be the gout.
Yeah.
And she's taking something for the gout. Well, is she getting some relief from the gout?
Yeah. Some days her feet are swelled up, and some days they ain't.
Yeah.
But when they swell up with the gout there, you know, they're almost as red as that glass.
Oh. Yeah. Well, I think that's a little bit too much.
And then you know the gout gets in her hands too, and that Johnson woman lives second place above us. Right there up in Pennsylvania in the summer, but they're down here in the winter, and she gets that gout in her hands and in her wrists here, you know. Gee, and they swell right up and they be just as red. It can be.
And Evelyn said they don't understand what causes it.
Now that. But that gout, you know, is one of the oldest diseases that they have.
Yes. I guess they used to think they understood it, but now they don't. Oh, Lord, don't give me any of that. I've had this bad knee, but it's nothing like the gout.
I have one knee that bothers me some. A lot of times it's caused from, I call it rheumatism, but they call it arthritis.
Yeah.
that rheumatism and arthritis and bursitis and all of that is all about the same thing.
Yeah. I'm telling you, Miss Eastman, before you forget it, you better get your paper.
But they used to call it all rheumatism, you know, but
yeah.
Late years they've subdivided that.
Yeah. A number of ways.
Yeah.
So they can, and Mr. Palmer says, so they can give you that expensive medicine.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I don't like to think about him getting up before the doctor says, but I like to think about him feeling good enough to get up.
Yeah, wanting to get up anyhow.
Yeah. Well, I'm afraid he's going to overdo.
Well, that's what his sister worries about.
If I know that what that is, geez, I went through it. And when you have one of them spells hit you like that, you can't move.
Is that right?
Geez, I went right on my damn head, right in the corner in the paint pails. And geez, and I couldn't get up. I laid there a little while, and finally I rolled over and over and over, and I got over to the cellar stairs. I was down cellar in the schoolhouse. I had that. You see, we'd put in a stoker in there and under the boiler. And I had that length of 2.5-inch pipe for a return on the water line there. We had to put in a pump down there, see, and the water run back from the radiators into this tank. See, well, then when the water got just so high in the tank in there, the float went up, and that started this pump. And it forced the water out of that into the boiler. Because when we raised the boiler up, we didn't have fall enough for the water to run back into the boiler of it on its own. So we had to put that booster pump on there. And I had that piece of pipe, and I'd got to turn it around. Well, in order to turn it around down cellar, I didn't think about taking the damn coupling off and changing it on the other end of the pipe. I thought about turning the pipe around, see? So, I opened up the cellar window. See, it was on hinges in the middle of the winter. And I opened that up there and hooked it up. Put the pipe out there, you know, turned it around and put it back down where I wanted it. I went back over there and reached up to let them windows down. Jesus, when I put my left hand up there to push that window up there, I just went right in the corner, right, the damn paint pails and stuff, and I couldn't get up. Well, I finally crawled on my hands and knees up the stairs, and there was half a dozen men working up on the second floor there. And I hollered to them, but they didn't hear me, because that electric saw was running, and I don't know if the planer was running up there or not, but making a lot of noise, and they didn't hear me, so I crawled out and got in the truck, and I drove down to the doctor's office, about 3 blocks, and I got in the office there, and there was half a dozen people in there waiting to see him, and I had to cough. I had had a coughing spell, see. Geez, the doc come out, and he said, "Who's coughing out here?" And I didn't say nothing. Somebody said, "He is." I looked over there, and he looked at me, and he said, "What are you doing here?" Oh, I said, "I come down to see you." He went back in, and he came back out, and he says, "Open up your mouth." And he stuck a couple of them nitroglycerin under my tongue. And he went back in there, and he wasn't in there but a minute with this, I think it was a woman patient he had in there with him. And he came back out, and he says to them out there, he said, "I want to see this fellow in there right off." Because he says he's had a heart attack. He'd felt him a pulse, you know, see. And he went over there and felt him a pulse and something another there before he gave me that nitroglycerin. And so I went in the office there, and he said, "How'd you get down here?" I said, "With that truck out there." "Did you drive that truck down here from the school?" And I said, "Yeah." He says, "Is your brother up there at the school?" And I says, "Yes." And Jesus, he started right in ringing the telephone up there, see, and he got somebody on the telephone, and he told him he wanted to talk to my brother. He said, you come on down here at the doctor's office and bring somebody down here with you. Because he says your brother's had a heart attack. Well, Jesus, them fellas come down on the run. Well, they got me and they carried me out and put me in the truck, you know, Jesus. Carried me down home. I had this big shop down there. It was 28 feet wide and 56 feet long. And we lived upstairs over the shop. Jesus, they carried me upstairs. They run upstairs and got a chair. They set me in the chair, you know, Jesus, and then they carried me upstairs in the chair. Put me to bed. And about an hour after that, Doc come down there to see me. He told him, he said that Jesus, he won't live 3 days. The third day, but Jesus, I was up and had my clothes on. But you know, I couldn't.
I was his REO boy stuff.
I couldn't walk a city block if they'd paid me a big sum of money for it.
Is that right?
I'd take a newspaper, 4 or 5 thicknesses of it, and I'd walk as far as I could and step right over at the curb and sit down. People come along, look at me just much as to say, well, look at that drunken pup sitting there. I thought, I got an idea, that's just what they thought.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, I didn't care what they thought. Geez, when I got so that I could, I'd get up and walk a little farther. And that's the way that I got around. Well, I got feeling quite a little bit better. Oh, I guess it was along in March. And I got down in the shop. And I was working down in there. I used to make a lot of furnace pipe, you know. You know what I mean? The smoke pipe, same as that there. The bigger pipe for furnace pipe, one thing or another. I was making that, and the snow slid off in the garage roof. I had a 3-car garage right out back of there. And it plugged the door so that you couldn't get the car out. I thought to myself, well, I'll go out there. And I'll throw out 4 shovels full of snow. Then I'll come back in and rest, and after a bit, I'll go back out and throw out 3 or 4 more, and after a while, I'll have it so that I can get the car out. Well, I went out, and I throwed out 4 shovels full, and it didn't seem to hurt me any. And I went back in the shop, and I sat down there at the desk and fiddled around there for half an hour or so. I went out, and the snow was kind of hard, you know, where it slid off. You know what wet snow is there. I cut out a shovel full and I throwed it out. I cut out the second one and I shoved it out. I cut out the third one and I went to throw it out. And I went right down on my head again in the snow, and geez, I couldn't get up. Well, I laid around there for a few minutes. It wasn't too cold. I finally rolled myself over to the steps. There was a platform on the back out there, and about 3 steps up the platform. I crawled up and got into the shop. I said, got into the chair up there, and I said, by Jesus, the fellow that put that snow out there can take it out. For all of me, I said, I never shovel any more snow. And the reason I didn't either. No, sir. But they claim that anybody that's got a bad heart shouldn't shovel any snow.
Yes.
Because they claim that it ain't the work, but it's the breathing that cold off in the snow.
Oh.
That cold air comes off in that snow as you bring it up to you to throw it, see?
Yeah.
They claim that it's that cold that what does it. Jesus. So I know what it is to have a heart attack. Well, then finally, Jesus had run along a couple of years, you know, and God, I couldn't get around. Finally, there was an old Czechoslovakia doctor.
You mean that long?
Yeah.
You mean you were just going down the street and sit down a little bit?
Yeah.
For 2 years?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that, Mr.
Yeah. And I'd tried different doctors, and geez, didn't a damn one of them help me a bit. Finally, this old Czechoslovakia came into town, and he rented this house off of a woman that had had a heart attack, the same as I did, see? Well, it was a little different, because there's so many different kinds of heart attacks, see? And she called me on the telephone one night, and she says, I wish that you'd come down and see Doc Feldman. Maybe he can help you. She says, he's helped me. She says, I can get right around. She says, good now. So the next day, I went down to see him. And he had got in a lot of new equipment in down there. He put in an x-ray machine and a cardiograph outfit and all of that stuff. So I told him what I was down there for, that he'd helped Mrs. Foster, and that I thought she wanted me to come down and see him. So he x-rayed me there, and then he started in on the cardiogram. Well, he had a, you know what them cardiograms are, that paper there, you know, they're half a mile long, and he sat down with a book, and he was checking the diagrams in the book against what it was that he was getting off in this cardiogram. And finally he said, he said, here it is, here it is. And I said, here's what? Well, he said, here's a picture here just like what yours is. And he brought the book over there and he showed me, and it was, you know, them lines go up like that, you know, and then down here and everything. It was just like it. And he read what it said there. He says, you know, they make a medicine in the old country, and if I can get it, I can help you. And he says, if I can't get it, he says, I don't know. Well, I said, if you think you can help me, you send and get it, because I said, I got the money to pay for that medicine. All right, he says. So, geez, it run along about 2 weeks. The telephone rung, and I answered the telephone, and he said, I got it, and he kept going, you know. I said, wait a minute, who are you, who you got? Oh, he said, this is Doc Feldman. And he says, I got that medicine, he says, and I was so happy, I don't know what I say.
Oh,
he a Czechoslovakia fellow, you know, and he talked that German brogue. And so he said, you come lie down. So I went lie down. And you know, I took that medicine there, and in about a week, I began to feel different. My dear, in 2-3 weeks, I could walk and get around pretty good. I got so that I could go out and I'd shovel a little dirt, something like that, you know, and I'd get going, and I got it going and doing a little work. Well, you know, I took that medicine from about 1949, it was in the winter, I think, of 49 and 50, right up until I had this gallbladder operation. And I went down there to take that for gallbladder operation, and they wanted to know if I were taking any medication. And I told them yes, and told them what it was, and for my heart. And they said, well, of course, they run me a cardiogram down there, see, before they operated. They said, don't take any more of it, because it says your heart is in perfect condition. So I haven't taken any of it since.
Well, now, you, when you had that spell recently, you used that same medicine.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a little spell here a year or so ago there, and I got some of that and took it.
Yeah. But you didn't have it on hand.
No, I thought that if I didn't need any, I wouldn't have it. When I come to need it, well, I come out up here at the drugstore, and they got some there in a day or so.
Did you know what to call it?
Yeah.
I see.
It's papaverine, and it's made from the opium poppy after the opium is taken out.
Of all things.
So it helped you twice.
Yeah.
You don't have to have a prescription? Yeah.
Well, I did in the beginning, but I bought so much of it that they didn't sell it to me without a prescription.
Gee whiz.
Well, you keep some of that on hand.
I got some down there.
So you won't have to wait a day or two to get it.
Yeah.
Now, this last time, you had to wait over the weekend.
Yeah.
Before you go down there, and then you had to wait another day for them to get it. No, just that afternoon, wasn't it?
But I figure I'm keeping some on hand, so. But there's so many different kinds of heart trouble that one'll help one won't help another.
Yeah.
That nitroglycerine. That nitroglycerine there was without a